Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Block Talk, where we talk about everything related to Azure and blockchain all up. My name is Ziad Rajabi. I'm a blockchain PM.
And I'm Cody Bourne. I'm a software engineer on the Azure blockchain team. So today we're going to talk about a new product called Azure Blockchain Workbench. So often we'll hear a customer will have deployed the ledger. Now they want to start building applications on top of that ledger. So Azure Blockchain Workbench has solved this problem. So Ziad's going to talk to us today about what Blockchain Workbench is and how to set it up and go about using it.
I will show you guys a demo of how it works. Okay, so when you think about sort of blockchain all up, and you think about sort of how difficult it is to actually build solutions, and I think we covered this in a previous episode, but it's really difficult to connect your ledger to your existing systems, whether you're talking about connecting it to Office, Dynamics, Salesforce, or even creating a brand new application or client app. It's really, really difficult. In fact, when people go and try to figure out how to do this stuff, it turns out that trying to create this is difficult. And not only that, when you think about it from going beyond just a single organization to now multiple organizations, you almost multiply that particular difficulties. And what results is people have to do several different pieces of work beyond just the core business logic. So what people want to do is, let me just write my business logic in blockchain, and then let me connect everything that I have to blockchain and have everything work. But in reality, you're going to have to go manage your own APIs. You're going to have to go manage your the keys related to your stuff. You're going to have to go manage the deployments of the ledger. You're going to have to manage the nodes. You're going to have to manage the integration patterns itself and the identity mapping. There's a whole laundry list of work that you need to go do to get that work done. In fact, what we've seen is customers trying to go and create simple proof of concepts on top of blockchain, where the proof of concept is just a simple user experience on top of blockchain. That has cost customers in the order of hundreds of thousands of dollars and it's taken months of work to go do. It's very, very difficult.
So Ziad, I'm imagining I'm a customer and I'm trying to look at this blockchain thing. And I'm thinking of it maybe as a database, as a new some type of new database technology. I say, you know, maybe my dev team will take a look at it and figure out how to integrate it with the, you know, just substitute my existing database with this blockchain thing. Why is it not that easy?
Well, databases have been around for quite a bit of time. They've already developed a very rich connection points for different applications, whether it's connected to Excel or some other system. Blockchain is very nascent. This still doesn't have that particular technology in mind. And so there's a lot of gaps with respect to hooking into blockchain. And so that's part of the difficulty. The other part of the difficulty is blockchain is a brand new technology. So if you have an existing database developer out there and you say, hey, go take the existing solution that you have and just plug it into blockchain, they have to go ramp up with what blockchain is, and then they have to go build up that entire scaffold, this kind of this nice hexagon graphic that you see here in the background. It's very difficult to go do that stuff. There's a lot of different pieces that you need to go do and address before you have anything that remotely resembles a basic blockchain application.
Makes sense.
So when you think about sort of all those different pieces, what we did is we were very lucky. We had the opportunity to work with hundreds of customers out there to learn sort of what their needs were and understand the patterns. And what resulted was, from talking to the customers and understanding what they were trying to build in their scenarios, it became apparent that certain patterns emerged. And what we did is we packaged those patterns up into what we're calling an Azure Blockchain Workbench, which is a brand new product we've released back in May. It's as public preview back then. And what that thing does is it provides a series of capabilities that allows you to more easily connect and build your blockchain applications. So it's different things, and I will show you guys demos of all these different capabilities. But for example, it provides a really rich way to do identity management, and it handles your keys for you. It provides several different extensibility points for pushing content or pushing transactions into the system. It provides extensibility points for extracting or understanding what's going on the blockchain. It allows you to much more easily integrate into a data platform, whether you're visualizing the data or running machine learning or data analytics onto the system. It allows you to sync the data onto an off-chain storage, so it makes it much easier for you to analyze and visualize it. So if you want to connect to Excel or Power BI or what have you, it's very easy to go do that kind of stuff. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you guys a demo of what this looks like and talk about sort of what the value is for you as a customer, as a developer on top of it. All right, let's show you guys a demo of how Workbench works. So the first thing you'll notice is when you deploy Workbench, and I will do a separate video for you guys to show you how to deploy Workbench all up. But after you deploy Workbench, you'll get access to a URL. The URL will give you access to what you're seeing right here. And what this experience allows you to do is it gives you a couple of things. Number one, this web client experience gives you the ability to manage as an administrator your entire applications in your consortium. And it allows you to also manage the users who are interacting with your applications in your consortium. And how do we do that? How do we determine who's an administrator and your identity? That's the next capability I want to talk about, which is who you are. So you'll see here, when I'm logged into the system, I'm logged in as ziad@microsoft.com. And the way we work in Workbench is that we automatically map who you are in terms of Azure Active Directory to who you are on the attached blockchain network. So when you use Workbench, Workbench right out of the box is using the proof of authority Ethereum network. And in that network, every user is represented as a particular address on that network. And what we do is we automatically map that to who you are in your identity management system, leveraging Azure Active Directory. And the advantage there is that I can leverage all the security features of my identity system, like two-factor auth or any other capabilities, for free and automatically by using the system. I don't have to know who I am in terms of addresses. I just have to know who I am in terms of my identity in the enterprise.
I see. So where are the private keys stored in this case?
So in terms of who I am in terms of in Ethereum and my private keys, that's all leveraging a service within Azure called Azure Key Vault. Key Vault securely stores the keys, and we're also using Key Vault to sign transactions on behalf of users.
That's awesome.
So I don't have to use MetaMask or any kind of wallet to identify who I am or to confirm my transactions. It just, I always interact with the system as who I am at me@microsoft.com. And if I'm interacting with anybody else in the system, it's you@contoso.com or you@whateverothercompany.com. And makes that's sense. How I interact with it. I don't have to remember addresses. So that's the nice thing about it. So that's the second set of capabilities. And then for every user that logs in the system, you're basically two types of users. One is you're an administrator, or the other one is just you're a member participating somehow in the application in the consortium. So in this case here, I'm signed in as an administrator, and you can tell that because I can create new apps, I can disable my apps, I can manage the users. So if I click on 49 members here, for example, I can see all the different members who are associated with my consortium are all listed here. And this is all connected to Azure Active Directory. And the nice thing about leveraging Active Directory in this case as well is that it's federated. I can invite users from all organizations participating in this network.
That's really powerful.
So it's not just Microsoft users, it's everybody who have invited.
So it's very like enterprise friendly.
We try to make it as enterprise friendly as possible. And we try to create this experience here for you so that you as an information worker or you as a developer, you can easily go and validate and test your applications and your blockchain applications and ensure that it all works and then have that all working across your consortium. So we'll show you guys how that works. So let's go ahead and create a new app. When you create a new app in Workbench, what Workbench expects is two different things. The first thing it expects is a configuration file. The configuration file is very, very simple. It is basically meta information that explains how your blockchain application works. The easiest way to explain a blockchain application or smart contract is think of it as like a state machine. You start at a particular state, you have different types of actors or different roles that can take actions at different states depending on who they are and depending on the state. Those actions may or may not result in a new state. So once you define that state machine, basically the configuration JSON file that we have for Workbench is an enumeration of all the different states, enumeration of the transitions that can happen, and enumeration of all the different types of users or roles, and what actions they could take at each of the states. That combined with the Solidity or the smart contract file allow us to automatically render the entire end-to-end user experience for you using Workbench. So you don't have to do any user experience coding yourself. Workbench will take care of that all for you automatically based on those two files.
So let's say after I have authored these files, what is kind of like the development time in order to get something like this stood up?
So it depends on how well you guys have defined your scenario. But to give you guys an example, and I'll walk you through this particular example. Let's say we wanted to do a refrigerated transportation example. And what I'm showing you here is there's a bunch of samples you can find on GitHub for Azure Blockchain Workbench. And one of the examples here is refrigerated transportation. Refrigerated transportation, the story is really simple. It's basically a supply chain scenario where you're tracking goods from one party to another party to another party. And along the way, you're tracking several IoT sensors, such as temperature, humidity, and even GPS. And so it's pretty simple. When you define the roles are which party is holding the goods, who owns the supply chain, what is the device or the set of devices you're using for the system. And then if you want to have an observer in the system, observer could be something like a government agency or a food inspector or something like that. Mm. And so you're basically defining the roles. And then the next thing you need to find is the states. And so in this case, there are just four states. One is you're basically creating a shipment. This shipment is in transit. The shipment has been completed and has been delivered successfully. And the last failure state is the shipment is out of compliance, which basically means maybe the sensor for humidity and temperature went out of your range that you expected, and which may have resulted in perishable goods that are no longer edible.
Yeah, I've heard that like ice cream, if it melts, and then even if you refreeze it again, it's actually dangerous.
It's really dangerous. In fact, we've heard, I mean, you can see this on the news. There's cases where people are doing recalls on food because something has happened along the way. In some cases, maybe the refrigeration unit went down and it comes back up and no one noticed, or it could be some issue with that particular shipment of goods. And so this allows you to more easily pinpoint those things and provide a set of transparency across the system. Now, what's nice about using this as a blockchain solution is that every single party participating in the blockchain network has full transparency of what's happening in the network. And so if a party is holding the goods and the refrigeration unit goes down, all parties can be notified immediately and in real time. And in real time, you can adjust how the supply chain is going to account for that particular lost shipment. Mm.
And one of the kind of questions I get around blockchain is like, how does blockchain solve this for supply chain where, you know, you can, if you have data that's being injected into the blockchain that's bad data, mm-hmm. you end up with garbage results. So how does supply chain work with blockchain? Blockchain doesn't magically solve this. And of course, you know, blockchain, it doesn't solve this by itself, but we do work with other third-party customers to build tamper-proof sensors, as well as one of the cool projects that we're working with 3M is these adhesive labels mm-hmm. that you can detect when somebody has messed with it. So, for example, if you're taking medicine and you want to make sure that this medicine hasn't been tampered with, mm-hmm. using this label plus blockchain and IoT really helps solve these problems in a nice way.
Yeah, I think there's some really nice scenarios where you can combine IoT, blockchain, and even AI to make some very powerful solutions out there. And so we're going to have some future episodes where we'll talk a lot more deeply in terms of how these things work. But for now, I just want to give you guys a very high-level overview of how Workbench works so you guys can get a sense of sort of the overall capabilities that we've provided with the scaffolding platform. Okay, so once you've defined these particular things, you essentially define the state machine. And so, again, if you wanted to understand sort of how the configuration stuff works and what the smart contract looks like for these samples, our GitHub provides the application files so you can use them for your samples. So please take a look at them. Otherwise, we will go through that at another time. All right, so when I go create my app, I can just dump in my JSON file. And what's really nice is we do real-time validation on the fly. So if there was any errors here, you would see the errors. And you're going to see here, I'm going to do the smart contract. And we also, in addition to errors, we show warnings. So warnings here tell you there may be a mismatch between your configuration and your smart contract, or there might be an issue with your smart contract. And so there's ways for you to go fix those up before you deploy your app. So once you have that all set, you create your application. And since I've already deployed it, here it is, it's refrigerated transportation. What you're gonna see here is I have the next ability is, as an administrator, as I can manage the users associated with my app. So here you can see I have air shipping as a party. I have several different people here as my owners. And this, again, we're using this as a demo on the team. So there's quite a few users on this particular system. You can see here Contoso Food Inspectors is an observer. And then I have some devices inside here as well that I can use, and as well as different initiating counterparts, so people who can actually initiate or create the shipments. So once I've defined who those people are, oh, just one more thing, is I can easily add new people in here. Again, because we are leveraging Azure Active Directory and mapping that to who you are, I don't have to remember crazy addresses. I can just say, hey, you know what, Cody, and this will go pull up.
I think it's C-O-B-O-R-N.
Oh, okay.
Based on my alias.
I see, you're not. Okay, so if I wanted to Cody, for example, I can go inside here and I can make Cody, maybe he can be an owner as well. So I can add and adjust the different roles in the system very easily as an administrator. Again, I can go and adjust and remove people inside here. So this is complete administrator experience here for managing the users. So once I have all the users in place, what I can do now is I'm going to go and click into my refrigerated transportation app. And what you're seeing from now on is the entire renderings here are all done for me automatically. So there is no user experience coding for myself. I can do a couple things here as a user. So number one, because I was set as an owner, I can actually initiate a brand new shipment. So I can hit new contract, which creates a new shipment. You'll see here a table. This table represents all of the contracts that are deployed on my blockchain network. Basically, think of these contracts as all the shipments. So it tells me which shipments are in transit, which ones are completed, which ones are out of compliance, it tells me who owns what, which party owns them, the ranges for the humidity and temperature. So I have a bunch of details there that I can specify. And one of the new features we've added is you can actually go and adjust what the table shows you. So if there's a ton of info like there is here, of course all this information is on the blockchain, so I have access to it already. Maybe I want to make my table a little bit easier to read. I can go and easily adjust that table right out of the box. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a new contract. I'm going to specify a simulated device or any kind of device I want for the system. For the owner, I will say that it's me. Again, what's really nice here is I don't have to remember anybody's addresses. I'm always interacting with people. So as an observer, I can say Contoso Food Inspectors is my observer. I can specify humidity range and a min and maximum temperature range. So maybe I'm transporting ice cream that needs to be transported between 2 and 7 degrees Celsius here. So I hit create. And what's happening now is a brand new transaction is being created. And it's being submitted to the blockchain network. And so another set of capabilities that Workbench provides is it will automatically build your transaction, it will sign it, it will route it to the appropriate blockchain, and then it will automatically pick up that information for you and throw it back into your system. And so what I mean by throw it back into your system is we'll automatically synchronize the data on the blockchain to an off-chain storage like a SQL database, and we'll use that information to help power up the web UI here, or any client application that you have.
So for those that are developers in the audience, essentially what we did was we uploaded the Solidity file, which is, you can think of kind of like a class definition. And then here we're creating an instance of that class, which is this contract object. And we provided it a set of parameters that are used in the constructor of that object. And that makes it unique on the blockchain.
That's right. So the next thing you'll see here is I'll go to this one, and the next screen you'll see is basically details on that contract within the blockchain. So what state are we in? How many states has this contract gone through? And then the details pane right here tells you these are all the details that are stored in the blockchain. So it tells me when it was created, the contract address, who owns what, which party owns the goods at this time, the ranges, all the inputs that I had from before. This activity log tells me, it's basically, think of it as like an audit trail. Who did what, when, and what did they do, right? So I have all this information at my disposal, including the block and the transaction hash. And depending on who I am and the state of the contract, I can take action. So in this case here, since I'm an owner, I can now transfer the goods to another party. So I'm gonna hit transfer responsibility, and I'm gonna give it to Shady Shipping, which happens to be Cody's company here. So I'm gonna hit take action, and a new transaction is getting created right now. It's being pushed to the blockchain, and essentially what you're doing is the state is gonna go from created to in transit, and you'll see that the party that owns it now is Shady Shipping, right? So let's log in as Shady Shipping. So let's switch over to Cody's screen here. So go back to the beginning, Cody, to the application. So when Cody signs in, show that you're signed in as Shady Shipping. You'll see here that he's Shady Shipping completely.
My very reputable company.
Yeah, I might it's add. Totally trustworthy. So his list of applications is much shorter than the one that I had. And you also notice that he's missing some buttons, which means that he is not an administrator, but he is associated with refrigerated transportation. So click on that. And he will see the list of different transactions. So click on the one that we just created, Cody. Right. So you can take action and you can transfer to another person, but don't do that yet, because what I'm going to do on my computer, off screen, of course, is I'm going to go into the system. And if we had a real IoT device, which we have this working with real IoT devices, and we've done this presentation actually to several of our leaders, is we took a hair dryer and we blasted some IoT devices to just mimic temperature being just spiking up. And so what I'm gonna do is I'm going to do a simulated version of this, and I'm going to put in a temperature of, let's say, 35 degrees. And what that's going to do is the IoT device is going to specify that the temperature has spiked. So now when we switch over to, actually, you're still on your screen, mm-hmm. you'll see that the device basically took an action, and it recorded a temperature reading of 35 degrees. The state now is changed to out of compliance, which is in its red state there. And you'll notice now anybody who's participating in this particular network can go down to the details experience, and they can see that the party who owns it, the current party, is Shady Shipping. So Shady Shipping is not as trustworthy as we thought and has resulted in a refrigerated transportation shipment that has failed because of, if you scroll down some more, it gives you some information. So temperature value got out of range because it reached 35 degrees Celsius. So that is one aspect of it. So if you switch back to my screen here real quick, what I want to show you is one more piece of it. So if I go into my URL and I just do a dash API on this thing, the entire client experience is built on top of a REST API. The REST API is available to you as developers. So if you want to go create your own custom app, whether it's a web app, whatever app you want, you can go interact with this REST API. REST API, we'll do a different session where we'll deep dive into the integration patterns, but that is one way to do it. The second way you can do this is if you want a system-to-system integration, so you don't want to use REST, but you want to have a system-to-system and you want to use, let's say, Service Bus or some kind of messaging system, you can use our messaging APIs to push transactions in. And then lastly, we have a way to pull information out. You can pull information out with the API, whether it's the REST API or the messaging API. And we use this series of connection accessibility points to allow us to provide events. And so we'll show you guys how to do that in a future episode and dive really deep in terms of the integration patterns all up.
This is really cool. So where do I go to get started? How do I deploy Blockchain Workbench?
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do is go to the portal itself. So if I go to the portal, and I hit create a resource, you'll have a blockchain category in the bottom, and you'll see Azure Blockchain Workbench. Workbench will allow you to go do a bunch of stuff. You'll see here that actually I'm I'm on a different account here, so let me go ahead and switch my directory back. I'm actually signed in as a non-user, so let me... Let me switch over to my other screen here. So this one should be signing me in as Microsoft. The other one was signed in as that device. So that device definitely does not have the rights to create anything. So if I go ahead and create a resource, blockchain and blockchain workbench, you'll see I have a series of different things here that I can go fill. Again, we'll give you guys a video of how to go do this, but that's the number one thing you want to go do. If you want to go look at the documents on this stuff, you could go to docs.microsoft.com /blockchain/workbench. And so you'll see several different documentations here. One gives you an overview of how the architecture all works all up. And again, I'll talk more deeply on this in a future session, but you can have here step-by-step instructions on how to deploy Workbench and what that all means and how to use it. And then lastly, if you go to the GitHub that we have for Workbench, you'll see there's many, many samples, including a ton of different applications and smart contract samples. And you can get a digital locker sample, Hello Blockchain sample. You can get refrigerated transportation samples. We have a bunch. We're going to create a lot more here. But that's the easiest and fastest way to get started with Workbench. And you can get up and starting in less than an hour.
That's awesome. So that's all we have time for today. So we're going to keep rolling out these episodes, so stay tuned. You can follow us at Microsoft Blockchain on Twitter. And we also will be posting these on YouTube and Channel 9.
Yeah, please leave some comments. We'd definitely take a look at them. And see you next time.